And this is part two of something I started last week, which is an excerpt from an interview with the director of the Edward Said National Conservatory of Music. His name is Suhail Khoury. I met him in East Jerusalem, occupied Jerusalem, when I was in Jerusalem about a month ago. And that interview, the meeting with him, was very inspiring. And it's really hard to imagine all the obstacles that this institution has to deal with, particularly political because of Israel and a lot of restrictions that Israel imposes, as well as financial obstacles. Yet this particular institution is a lifeline for music education in Palestine. There are five branches throughout Palestine. And I thought it would be worthwhile to hear Suhail talk about the conservatory, the work that they do. And this is also the institution that the benefit on December 6th will be the cause that we will raise money for, the Tangents community. There are still some spaces available, about 15 spaces available or so. And even if you don't go to the benefit, if you think that this is a cause worth supporting, then go to their website and you can contribute directly. And I have a link at the homepage at tangents.com, and we'll put a link on the playlist as well. So the voice that you'll hear is the voice of Suhail Khoury. I asked him a question to basically talk about the Edward Said National Conservatory of Music and to say the full name, which he will do, and then talk about it. It'll be about 12 or 13 minutes, and then we'll play music from Suhail Khoury, and that will be Gaza Corner for tonight. I'm Dori Stein, and this is Suhail Khoury on Tangents.
The Edward Said National Conservatory of Music, because it was the National Conservatory of Music. And then after Edward Said died, we gave his name to the conservatory. So it became the Edward Said National Conservatory of Music.
And when did it start?
It started in 1993 by a group of five musicians that came together in 1990 and did a study about the music situation in Palestine and decided that in order to make any change in the music scene of Palestine, there has to be a music school. And there was no music school before that. So the group continued working together until we were able to establish the conservatory in 1993 and launch it in October 1993. It started in a small attic of a building in Ramallah with three part-time teachers, a volunteer director, and 40 students.
And you were one of the teachers or the volunteer director?
Neither. I was one of the founders. I was still working at the Popular Arts Center, where I had started that center with other colleagues, where we were very much into dance and folkloric music and collecting the heritage music from the villages, folklore music. And I was still working also with the dance group that I had talked about before. So after 2 years of that start, I took direction of the... I became director of the conservatory. After, in a few years after that, the interest in music was so huge, and the programs that we were doing were attracting hundreds of students. So starting with 40 students, now we have more than 1,600 students. We are in five locations, five branches, with headquarters in Jerusalem and branches in Ramallah, Bethlehem, Nablus, Gaza, and now in Hebron even.
How has the Gaza branch survived? Has it been, was it just never damaged, or how much tougher is it to keep that branch going compared to the others?
It's been tough. After after 1 year of its launching, less than 1 year of its launching.
What year was that?
2008. I think 2009 there was a war in Gaza where the center was bombarded, totally demolished. We were part of a building of the Red Crescent Society. And the whole compound was bombed. So the music school was destroyed totally with all the instruments that we had there. And the war after that, I now forget the years, so many wars.
2012, Operation Protective Edge. Operation Cast Lead. Sorry.
Whatever they call it.
Yeah, whatever these names are.
We moved into another Red Crescent facility. It was the ambulance building, so hopefully more protected. We were not hit directly, but the bombs from adjacent bombings just smashed all the windows and cracked some of the walls that we were able to fix. The most damage was the trauma that the children, you know, went through under bombardment, and music was always their refuge. You know, they were eager to go back whenever there was possibility to go back to the school. We opened the school as soon as possible. Even with this last war of last year, the school continued being open to whoever was able to get there, because in many times the bombardment was targeting certain areas, mostly east of Gaza on the borderline. But it did not really function regularly, but you know, people would go there, some teachers, some, you know, the administration. But the students were very eager to go back after the war. Some people, you know, found a way to run away to through Egypt or through Erez, but most of the people stayed and went back to the school. And it's been...
When you say run away, I'm under the impression that very, very, very few people are able to escape from Gaza.
Yeah, these were some of the few people that were able to escape. Maybe because the mother was a mixed marriage, their consulates were able to pull them out somehow. There are lots of Palestinians in Gaza married to Russians. They somehow got out through their consulates and other nationalities.
Are you able? Are you able to visit the branch in Gaza?
It's up and down, actually. This last year I have been denied. And then twice, I would usually apply through the help of ANERA, the American Near East Refugee Aid, which helps the conservatory. And they do a lot of medical support to Gaza. So they used to be able to get me through, or the UNRWA, the United Nations Relief Work Agency, that we also work with them in doing choirs in the refugee camps. And at first I was not allowed to go to Gaza, and then after a year and a half or 2 years of trying, I was allowed, either, you know, with the help of ANERA or UNRWA. But this last year, I've been trying four times even to go, and I'm unable to do that. Even the last time I applied, I asked ANERA to help me. They said they're refusing any Jerusalemites to go to Gaza. So there's no even, you know, there's no need even to apply, because they're refusing our own employees to go to Gaza. The ANERA Jerusalem employees to go to Gaza. It makes it very difficult, because you know you're running, and we're supposed to be supervising, going there to do exams for students, to do workshops, and to supervise the work. none of my team is able to go at this time. I used to, for two times or even three, we went with a team of international teachers. We did workshops, we did master classes, we did exams and so on. But this year we haven't been able to go.
You mentioned you have choirs that have performed in refugee camps. Talk about some of these projects that the Edward Said Center produces.
We had this choir program called Sununu Choirs, and these are choirs not performing in the camps. These are choirs of the children of the camps, and these are choirs from mostly they were in the. And we had 12 choirs in the Gaza Strip, in the refugee camps of the Gaza Strip, through the working with the UNRWA schools. And this was a very interesting project because there were similar choirs in refugee camps of Jordan, Syria, and Lebanon. And at one point, we got them all together through satellite link to sing together the same program, where we had pre-recorded music that was broadcast simultaneously, and children were singing to the same songs from each of their venues, and they were doing concerts, so there were people in every place, and this was a kind of a way to unify all Palestinian children wherever they are in the different refugee camps of the diaspora, the area surrounding Palestine, including Gaza. And we also had choirs from Jerusalem and the West Bank, and we were also doing that from Bethlehem. So this was a very, very emotional project that we did. Now we're starting something since last year, starting something called the Refugee Camp Orchestra. And this is a string orchestra that we send, a children's string orchestra. So we send teachers to refugee camps of Dehesh, Shafat, and Aqba Jaber in the Jericho area. We used to do it in Balata in the Nablus area. Now we've moved to a village in Aqaba, a village of Aqaba. We just started this project of Aqaba with an organization actually in the USA that supports the Aqaba village with many things, and they came up with the idea, why not do a music program with this village. This village is 80% of the village is threatened and has demolition orders. All the building, 80% of the buildings of the village have demolition orders because this is a village that is in Area C. Area C is part of the Oslo agreements that is in the West Bank, but it's controlled totally by Israel. So they cannot build without the approval of Israel. And Israeli army sees this village in an area where they want to train. They have their training grounds. So they don't allow the villagers to build on their own lands. But the villagers continue to do that. And they've built a kindergarten, they built a guest house, they built a school, they built a mosque, and now we're doing this music program with support from U.S. charity in California. And
I just want to interrupt for a second and tell you that he couldn't think of the name, but then he sent me an email. The American organization that is supporting this music program at Aqaba is based actually in San Mateo. It's the RebuildingAlliance.org is the website. So that is wonderful. RebuildingAlliance.org is the name of the organization supporting this music program on behalf of the Edward Said National Conservatory of Music. And I'll get right back to the interview.
That charity again? Gotcha.
Hey, I did remember administrative detention.
Administrative detention, exactly.
I did get that one.
I should remember this name because it's important. You broadcast in California, don't you?
I do.
I should get you this.
Okay, you can email it to me.
I can email you.
We'll give them credit. We'll give them credit. But
What's the name of this village which is threatened with demolition?
Aqaba village. This is a village in the Tubas area. This is northeast of the West Bank. And again, because Israelis, the topography of that area is, as Israel claims, is close to the Lebanese mountains. So they use it as a training ground. But they have, the Aqaba village has a very strong mayor who long time ago was shot several times by the Israelis and is now, you know, moves on a wheelchair.
He was shot when he was a mayor?
He was shot, I think before he became a mayor. He was, an active member of the community and he was shot. And he became paralyzed. So now he's the mayor, and he moves on his wheelchair and defies the Israeli army with all these his amazing activities.
We'll stop it right there. The interview segment of tonight's Gaza Corner. It was an hour and a half interview, so I just want to take a little bit. And a portion of it that really explains thoroughly the incredible work that the Edward Said Conservatory of Music does in Palestine and is the only institution of its kind. I mean, it is the lifeline for music education in Palestine. And the benefit that I'm producing for the conservatory is December the 6th. All the information is at the Tangents website, tangents.com. It will sell out in advance. It's a very small, intimate concert and benefit. Only 40 people. We have about 25 at this point. So if you do want to attend, I would go to the website or call the studio line when music is on. And that number is 415-841-4134, 415-841-4134, 841-4134. And if you act, within the next day or two, hopefully you'll be able to get into the benefit. Or just you can support the Edward Said National Conservatory of Music by just going to their website and contributing directly. And there is a link at the tangents.com homepage as well as on the playlist. Harry, is that going to be there? So he'll not yet, but anyhow, on the homepage is where you'll find that link, and also it links to the actual benefit page, which has lots of details, including the link to the conservatory. I want to play a piece of music by the director. His name is Suhail Khoury. This is the title track from the album Jerusalem After Midnight, Jerusalem After Midnight. And he does his own intro for the song. So I'll let Suhail do a brief introduction to this composition, the title track to Jerusalem After Midnight, right here on 91.7.
But the CD is called Jerusalem After Midnight. So this is a piece that I recorded later, of course. I composed later, which is the time that I like Jerusalem most, which is after midnight, when it's mostly empty of people. Then you can walk in the streets of old Jerusalem and as if you're walking through history, because you see things that you don't see in the morning with all the hustle and bustle of people going back and forth. And so you don't see the actual place. Just go through it and go do your whatever you want to do. But then after midnight, when it's empty, except for some cats in the streets and of course soldiers at many times, you feel the city, you feel the history, you feel that you're walking through it. And so it gives you a different perspective of Jerusalem. Thank you.